Hey everybody, what's going on? Bay Ragney here, and welcome back for another episode of The Rock and Ragney Show. Actually, we have a returning guest. Well, kind of returning. We spoke to this person almost 7 years ago on our sister show, our flagship show, Totally Driven Radio. And her name is the one and only Cherie Curry. You know, from The Runaways? Yeah, exactly. Well, she's back with a brand new album. It's called Boulevards of Splendor, and it is freaking amazing. That's right. It is out now. It's out digitally everywhere. Check it out. You won't be disappointed. It is actually one of my favorite albums, without a doubt. Hands down, this year. It's a true rock and roll album. It's got, you know, the influences of Cherie's past from the 70s with The Runaways. It's got 80s hard rock in there. It's got 90s grunge. It's got it all up through the 2000s. It sprinkles all the generations of rock and roll and gives you an amazing brand new, it's like 13, 14 songs. There's some cover songs on there. It's just amazing. It's produced by Matt Sorum of Guns N' Roses fame, the Velvet Revolver, the Cult. It does a tremendous job. We talked to Cherie about the album, the making it, the guest on it, like Slash and Duff and Matt and Billy Corgan and Juliette Lewis, and why didn't Joan or Lita play on it, and also why was this album recorded 10 years ago and just being released now. So without further ado, you don't want to hear me keep babbling anymore. Or actually, you're going to hear me babble some more, because I'm going to drop in the description of this podcast the link to our original interview we did almost 7 years ago with Cherie. It's a super in-detail interview about The Runaways, what she was doing at that time, her relationships with Joan and Lita and Kim Fowley and her ex-husband and everything. So check that interview out. You won't be disappointed. But without further ado, this was taped this morning with Cherie, and here she is talking all about Boulevards of Splendor.
Oh, hey, Bay.
Hey, hey. How are you, Cherie?
I'm doing really well. So you're in Pennsylvania?
Actually, I've relocated. I moved to Nashville about 7-8 months ago.
Oh, how nice. Well, my grandmother was from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Where part of Pennsylvania?
I don't know. I don't know. I used to know, but you know what? I'm 60. Hey, I forget this stuff. Isn't that terrible?
Hey, I forget it too. The worst part is, like, when you don't even, like, ask the questions, like, I know from my own experience, like, a lot of the questions, like, people ask me about my family, like, I don't know. I didn't ask those questions.
You know, I didn't either, and I lost, yeah, I did not. I did not. I lost my grandmother back in, like, 79, so. Yes, and she was my favorite, but I just knew she came from Pennsylvania. That's all I knew. But my older sister, Sandra, has all that information, but I would like to read up on that. How's everything in Nashville very quickly?
It's, you know what? It's awesome. It's not as crazy as back in Philly. It's, you know, with the whole pandemic going on, it's a lot more calm, and actually they're starting to reopen things as of yesterday. They're starting to reopen the honky-tonks and some restaurants. Which I think is a little too early and a little, you know, they're jumping the gun a little bit, but hey, you know, if people want to go, that's on them. I'm not going.
Hey, you know what? That's fine. You know, the bottom line is people have to take responsibility for themselves and protect themselves. And that's really what's going to have to happen, eventually anyway, because people can be afraid forever about this. But you know, as long as you protect yourself, you shouldn't have to worry about anybody else.
That's true. That is true. Like, how are you holding up during all this?
Oh, terrific. Just great. You know, awesome. I mean, you know, I work from home anyway, but it is kind of bizarre going outside and seeing some of these people with, like, gas masks on. And literally, I was taking my dogs to the vet and to get their shots, and I saw this guy with literally a gas mask, like what you would see from Vietnam.
Wow.
And I thought to myself, this is really seems like it's from a movie. It's just, you know, and it's the panic. And, you know, it's the daily numbers that I really recommend people not listen to. And just, you know what? We also have a pretty good instinct ourselves. We do have a instinct to survive. So, you know, we have to, like, we really have to trust that instinct a lot. More than the rhetoric that's going on, because it is a little overblown. I think it's too much doom and gloom and for me, because I was very sick in early February 11th, actually, I got something that I knew just killed people. And I'd just gotten back from Boston, and I could have been COVID-19. But, you know, it's if it was the flu, that scares me even more, because that means that that flu is going to come back around. And just, you know, you just have to just protect yourself. That's all.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, actually, we did an interview, and it's scary. I can't believe it was this long ago. It was like 6.5 years ago. And so much has happened over those years. And actually, I did get the chance to meet you one time at the Chore Theater Convention. It might have been like 5 years ago. But you had the horrible accident while you were doing your chainsaw artwork at home. And like, that was like pretty horrifying.
I wasn't at home. I was actually on site, right okay. under the Hollywood sign, actually. I was doing a carving for, thank goodness, a retired trauma surgeon from Cedars-Sinai. And
wow.
my scaffolding, I caught an edge, is the only thing that I can, I mean, I wasn't smart. I needed to get up just a few inches taller. My assistant had been called away by the wife of the doctor for some trivial thing. He never should have walked away from holding that plank for just those few moments, but he did. And I must have caught an edge, which is mean that it grabbed, my saw grabbed, pulled me forward. And I do not remember the accident because it knocked me out, but
oh,
I
wow.
did break my tailbone flipping backwards. All I do know is that I fell on my face, holding that saw out as far away from me as possible, and cracked my skull. And I paralyzed the left side of my face for close to a year, because there was a lot of nerve damage from the impact.
Sure.
But I'm fine now.
That's awesome.
And I'm just glad. I'm so glad I don't remember the accident. But hey, I finished the carving.
Yeah. That's true dedication.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. True dedication, or maybe a little crazy too, in there, huh?
No, it's just, again, I think if I'd have remembered the accident, things would have definitely been different. So I'm very, very grateful that all I remember is carving the foot of that bear and then opening my eyes, and there'd be ice all over my face. And I'm looking up at this doctor that I was working for. So I was very, very blessed. Very blessed.
Did you think any time during, as you were going through the recovery and healing process, did you think at any time, like, it might screw with your singing at all, since you damaged your face? Was there like anything like vocally?
Oh, with my throat?
Yeah.
My singing? Oh, no. No,
okay.
I mean, I did fall into a depression. Started tipping a bottle a little bit. You know, that's kind of what happens when you feel sorry for yourself, which
sure.
I don't recommend people do. Because, you know, we have these peaks and valleys, and, you know, I was definitely in a valley for a while. But you know what? The thing is that we do persevere. We climb out of that hole, and we get back to business. And that's just, thank God. Thank
yeah.
God we do, you know. And it's okay. It's okay to have those times where you're not feeling all that too great about life. It happens to everybody. Nobody
sure.
is permanently, you know, on a high. We all deal with life. And that was a life-changing situation for me. I will never allow myself to be in that situation again. But will it ever stop me from carving? Absolutely not.
Nice. And obviously, it hasn't stopped you from making music. Now, the new album just came out recently, this past month, Boulevards of Splendor, which is amazing. And I got to say this. This is a true rock and roll album, and you can hear the 70s influence. You can hear modern day influence. You can hear the 80s. And I mean, you hear all the generations of rock and roll in there, which makes me love it so much. But the thing that confused me as I'm going through and I'm researching the whole process of this album was you actually started working on this 10 years ago.
Yes, we did. And, you know, I was very disappointed because I kind of, first of all, I never expected to make a record, but I knew this record was very, very special. I did want it slightly remixed by Tom Panunzio, because we had kind of run out of our budget. Matt Sorum was done. I mean, you know, this, we worked for several months on this record. And so when we went in the studio with Tom Panunzio to remix and then to add a couple more songs that Kenny Laguna wanted, such as Dragging the Line and What Do All the People Know? After that, the album was just shelved. It was just put on a shelf at Blackheart, and it was hard for me. I mean, that was a real letdown. So it sat there for a number of years, and then when we were thinking of re-releasing it, or not of actually releasing it, then I had my accident.
Wow.
And so I just never expected this album to ever come out, and I did tour, though. I toured on this record on my own after I left Kenny as a manager and left Blackheart behind. I was hoping that maybe touring would force them to release the record, but that didn't work. But I got to get out there and play a lot of songs from this record and some Runaway stuff and had some amazing shows, met some terrific fans. And, but the record is out now, and, you know, the past is the past. It
right.
doesn't do anything for you for the future, but I'm so grateful that it's finally out because, you know, people really realize why I wanted it out so badly 10 years ago.
So it was actually recorded 10 years ago then?
Yes.
Wow. That was the thing. Like, I was like, all right, maybe they started putting the process together. And then I actually realized, like, I was going through, you know, the studio videos with you and Matt and Slash and Duff and all that stuff. And then I realized the date on that was from, like, 2013. I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, maybe it was recorded 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And again, you know, I'll never really know the true reason why they held on to it for close to 10 years. I don't know. I know Kenny, of course, was constantly on the road with Joan. I don't know. But the bottom line is that does it really matter? I opened for Joan Jett at the Pacific Amphitheater. It was such an amazing show. And then I just didn't work after that.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just kind of like now I want to be able to tour on this record. I mean, I think it deserves it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, it's out now, and I did not expect that. I really didn't. So I'm grateful. I'm just grateful that they decided to put it out.
So did they finally come to you and say, look, we finally put this out, or did you keep trying to put the bug in their ear, or?
No, I stopped that a few years ago. But when they decided to release it on Record Store Day and make an LP, a very nice red LP, I thought that was great, you know. And then they said that they were planning to release it a few months later. I was in the process of releasing an album with Bree Darling of Fanny,
mm-hmm.
which was a fluke, that we would come together. I mean, literally, I was putting my house up on the market. I was in escrow for some land up north, and I was out of this business. I mean, I was gone. I didn't want anything to do with it. This album was really something that kind of cemented me not wanting to be in the business any longer. And but Bree, when I went in as a background singer on Fanny Walk the Earth, we just hit it off. And I ended up standing out a little. I was with, you know, Kathy Ballantyne and all the Go-Go's and,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the girls from back in the day. And her husband, you know, Dave Darling, who's a 6-time Grammy-nominated producer, really, for some reason, thought that I had something. And he wanted us to do a duet album, and that's what we did. And so that's called The Motivator, and that came out, I guess, about 9 months ago now.
Okay.
And Bree and I ended up touring on that record for a couple of months. And then this pandemic hit. We finished our tour early December, and then with the pandemic, they decided to put Boulevards of Splendor out. And honestly, Bay, if I never make another record, I'm happy because this was the record I always wanted to make when I left the Runaways, which I, you know, for other reasons, doing a record with my sister, that record was kind of taken from me from the the producer at the time. Right. And I wanted to make a rock record, and this is the record I always wanted to make. And God bless Matt Sorum, who had a vision when I didn't in a million years think that I was going to make another record at, 50 years old. So God bless him and all of his hard work and Holly Knight and all the great players and Billy Corgan and Brody Dahl, and the Veronicas and Nick Mayberry and Grant Fitzpatrick and my son and just everybody that came and so graciously and generously gave their time and energy to this record. They are the true stars. I cannot thank them enough for this opportunity.
As that was happening, the recording process of this album, when you have people like that, you're working with Matt, who's had an amazing career between The Cold and Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver. You have, of course, Slash and Duff, Billy Corgan. You got these people who have gone on and become iconic names in the music world. And does it go off in your head a little bit, I influenced these guys. Weird thought?
No, that's never entered my mind. All I know is that I'm so proud of them and the hard work that they put into becoming who they are. And what I really enjoyed so very much is that, a lot of, especially Bill, I was watching Breaking the Band with the Smashing Pumpkins the other day and hearing about Billy not having the greatest etiquette with working with other musicians. And I was just like, wow, what? I've never, ever worked with someone as gracious and giving and generous as Billy. And that went on even after the record finished. Jake and I had written a song and I threw it Billy's way and he was in a retreat writing songs and took the time to work on that song and shoot a video of him playing it. Where does that leave me as far as thinking that some of these people just don't have time? That's why I don't trust a lot of, I don't listen to people's opinions because the thing is most of the time they are wrong because I've just never met someone like him. And even Slash, such a giving, generous person, constantly works at charity. And these people that I've witnessed a lot in my day, a lot of people changing, that get fame and they're never the same. And to see people this kind and, wonderful, just gave me a huge, boost that it still tickles me, that these people, they didn't have to be, they turned out real good. And that makes me really happy.
That's awesome. Now, how about, as you mentioned, your son is part of your band. He toured with you a few years back. He worked with you on this album. How was that working with your son? Was that kind of weird?
Oh, it was great. The kid's so talented. He has more talent in the tip of his little finger than I have in my entire body. And my wonderful ex-husband, Robert Hayes, as well. And Jake and Bob, they lost their house in the Woosley fire. Jake is now, after a year of him living, about 40 miles, he decided to come and move home, which makes me so happy because I'm in the middle of doing my audiobook right now. I even built me a little sound studio. We're working on a video for the record, quarantine video that's really going to be fun. People will be quite surprised, the guests that show up on this video. We're just finishing that up. But Jake went on after touring 4 tours with me. He went on to go on tour with his band Maudlin Strangers, and he knew the ropes. He was a seasoned pro by the time he got off tour with me. So that was great.
That's awesome. Yeah, I just picture do you look at him at any time and be like, that's my baby boy? Like, picture him when he's a baby, and here he is now rocking out with you.
Every day. Every day. And he's a good person. That's the most important. If he was some spoiled brat, because he grew up with, surrounded by stars.
Sure.
And this kid is the most humble, wonderful, human being, and he just released another single called Sober that's doing really well. He is a magical performer and plays so many instruments. And he's just a fantastic, true star, and he's a great actor. So, you know, I've had one kid, and boy, am I glad that it's JK's.
That's awesome. Now, going back to the album, being the fact that it was recorded 10 years ago, did you guys go back and redo anything over the years, or it just as we're hearing it now, is how it was recorded 10 years ago?
That's Bay. What's exactly? That was it. So that album's been sitting on a shelf for 10 years.
Wow. That's
but
awesome.
But you know what? It also shows that it obviously it wasn't the time, because now's the time. And I'm glad that people are appreciating it and appreciating Matt Sorum for his great production.
Amazing.
And, you know, I don't know what to say. I'm just so happy that, because it was really a thorn that I didn't know how. I mean, the only thing I could do was forget the record. That's all I have. That's all I could do to just get past it all. So now it's like it's out, and that now I can just move on with my head clear and I'd be thankful. And thankful for all the good reception, because it is getting great reception. What it was worth the wait.
You know what? I'll agree with you. Like, I mean, it had to be torture for you, but for the fans, this album is amazing. This is a true, I can't stress enough, this is a true amazing rock and roll album.
Well, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for saying so. And also thank you for taking the time to talk to me, because if it wasn't for you, you know, and people like you, nobody would know about this record. So I really, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all the support. And I'm just glad that you love it. It means the world to me, Bay.
You're welcome. Thank you. I mean, seriously, when I listened, I was like, wow. This is up there with my top three albums of the year, without a doubt. So
you just made my year.
There you go.
And you're a pleasure to talk to, Jay.
Thank you so much. Thank
you.
Now, what's going to be the first single and video?
Well, the video I think should come out in about a week. It's a quarantine video. It's really not a single. A single has not been chosen.
Okay.
As of yet. So, again, that lands on Blockhart and us figuring that out, if that's what they plan to do. I don't know if they would or not. I think at this point it's just, you know, the album, the 15 songs, and that's it.
And how about, did you at the time ask Joan or Lita to do anything on the album, or?
No, I didn't. Well, you know, I kind of thinking Joan might, but it just, no, I guess she didn't want to. I'm not sure. Yeah, even though, you know, Kenny was managing me at the time, it was never even brought up.
Wow.
So I just leave those things alone. Now, Lita and I reconnected a few years back when she had asked me to do a duet with her for a Christmas single, which I was thrilled to do. And then I put out a record called Reverie with Kim Fowley. And I actually helped take care of him towards the end of his life.
Yeah,
I moved him into my house. But we did Reverie, and Lita performed on a couple of songs on that record. So, you know, it was really, it's been great. I'm the only runaway that's ever worked with all the other girls since the breakup.
Right.
And so, you know, it was great to work with Lita, and I've worked with Joan. I've been in the studio with her, not only pre the movie to prepare the girls for doing the soundtrack for that film, but you know, Joan and I did what was it, Guitar Hero. We did Cherry Bomb together, and you know, and I've gotten on stage with Joan several times
Sure.
over the years. So anyhow, but I think that, you know, I don't think this record, look, I didn't, thank God, I didn't need Joan, I didn't
right.
need Lita. You know, I have these wonderful people that offered themselves up, graciously. And I'm humbled by that. And I am so, so proud to be a part of this record.
It's almost too like a statement that just that, and not saying it in a mean or nasty way, but that you didn't need Joan or Lita, that you were able to do this on your own and put out this amazing rock record without, you know, the people you shared an amazing past with.
Well, thank you for that. Thanks, Bay. You know, everybody needs somebody.
Sure.
You know, again, this is Joan's record label that finally did decide to put it out. So, you know, I'm tipping my hat to her and Kenny and Max and everybody there at Blackheart and saying, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for putting this record out.
Nice. All right. And I know you got to get going. Where is the best place to send everybody to get this album now?
You know, it is only available on download. I'm not sure if Blackheart will ever decide to put it on, make physical copies. I mean, it's been in the top 10, Amazon, hottest top 10, you know, here for quite several days. Hopefully, it does well enough where they will make, physical, CDs. But if not, you know, you can get it anywhere, anywhere where you can download music.
Awesome. Cherie, this is always an honor and a pleasure talking to you. Congratulations finally on the release of this amazing album. And everybody needs to go to these download spots. That it's available. Get it. Listen to it. Crank it up. You're going to be very pleased by this.
Thank you, Bay. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me. And you
absolutely,
stay safe,
you too,
my friend. And I will see you soon.
Hey, when you come to Nashville, I'm there.
Hey, I'm telling you, I love Nashville. So thank you so much. We'll stay in touch.
Absolutely. Take care, Cherie.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.